Good morning, everybody. Anybody love Jesus in this place today? Can you put your hands together if you love your Savior and your Lord? Matter of fact, why don't you turn to the person next to you right now and just say, I love Jesus more than you do. Go ahead and tell them that. Say, I love Jesus more than you do. Look at the person on the other side and say, you look like you need some Jesus this morning and a cup of coffee. A little bit of coffee and a whole lot of Jesus. Thank you, Pastor Mark, for the privilege of getting up and speaking again today, and I do welcome you. For those of you that are joining us for the first time, it's a treat for Casey and me to be able to be here. We love the Minnesota district. We love your pastors. We love your leaders. Just this is a blessed district. Can you thank the Lord for this campground, for this district, for your leaders? So many cool things happening here, and I want to give another shout out here since we're on a roll, but I want to say a special thanks to Lily and the team from North Central. I want to say thank you for being prayed up, for practicing, for rehearsing, for coming and leading us with such pure hearts. You know what? It's just God is using you. I want each of you to know that God is using you. It's evident. I saw even back there trying to drum, but lifting both your hands, praising the Lord. We see Jesus in you, and we're thankful for you. Can you just thank the Lord for the worship team? We love you guys. We do. Well, if you were here last night, it was just a special time around the altars, very meaningful. I believe that so many encountered the Lord in our time just of being in His presence. And for some of you, even perhaps you had that breakthrough that we were praying for. Perhaps you did experience some type of healing in your body, healing in your life. Maybe God did speak supernaturally to you, gave you a word about something. Perhaps he set you free from something that was holding you back. I pray that there are many testimonies that come out of what God has done and what He is doing. And yet I want to speak to all of us today on this thought that there may have been some who you walked away from last night thinking and feeling in your heart, man, I was really hoping that, or I was really praying for, I was really believing that God would, and yet you did not see what you were hoping to see. Sometimes we can walk away from a night like last night and think that God seems to answer other people's prayers. Others seem to have the ability to get a breakthrough, but am I the only one that can't? Maybe something that you've been praying for a really long time and you have yet, somebody say not yet, seen what God is going to do in that situation. But if we're not careful, we can think maybe something's wrong with me. Now maybe something is wrong with you. Definitely the person next to you, something's definitely wrong. Just pray for them. But we can tend to think that maybe I'm not doing this right. Maybe I'm not spiritual enough. And you're wondering maybe if just something is wrong. Well, I want to share with you a message today that I hope encourages you. I hope that it informs you, at the very least, remind you about God's word, His character, His promises. And I want to open by maybe setting the stage just with a story. There's this place, we're from, Casey and I met in Missouri. That's where we started our family, Springfield, Missouri area. And there's a place in Springfield called Andy's Frozen Custard. If you know, then you know. And if you don't, let me just say it will change your life. If you ever had it, Pastor Mark, you've certainly been to Andy's. Am I preaching truth right now? Andy's Frozen Custard. Woo! It's my favorite treat. As a matter of fact, I'll try and hold off of other treats so that I can just go crazy with Andy's Frozen. I got a picture right here of me with an Andy's Frozen Custard. Oh, y'all, it really is a spiritual experience. I mean, I just feel closer to Jesus. And maybe after I eat all that ice cream, I probably am getting a little closer to Jesus. But Anyway, and it's not just limited to me. My whole family loves it. I got a picture here of my family. It's a family affair. And I don't want you to think that, like, we go all the time. Like, we don't go all the time. I mean, it happens some. Okay, that's enough. That's enough pictures. Now I'm getting convicted. Okay, I've got a problem. Obviously, I've got a problem. A lot of documentation there. We love Andy's Roast. Well, one day I pulled into Andy's because I just felt like the Lord wanted to bless me. And so I pulled in and I got up to the drive-through and I ordered my favorite Andy's. I told them, you know, just the way I wanted it, just the way I liked it. And man, they're really fast. They're efficient. I mean, they knock it out really fast. And they handed it off to me. Have you ever been so excited about what you're about to eat, you had to take a bite before you even pulled off? Anybody else ever done that, or is that just me? I mean, I just, before I even let my foot off the brake, I had to take just one big spoonful bite. And as I did and I started pulling off, I realized something was off just a little bit, because I know my Andy's. I know my recipe. I know the ingredients. I know what mine's supposed to taste like. And as I started pulling off, I was like, no, I don't think. And I took another bite and I was like, this is not the right Andy's. Some of y'all are thinking, what is the big deal? It's because you've never been to Andy's. That's what's wrong right now. You don't understand how impactful this was. And I, typically pretty nice guy. As a rule, I like to be kind, courteous. Somebody makes a mistake, not a big deal. You can't mess with my Andy's. You cannot mess this up. And so I decided I'm going to have to get back in line. I rarely ever do this, but I'm like, somebody needs to speak the truth in love right now, and I'm gonna have to correct this mistake, or it might just wreck my whole day. So I got back in line, and while I was in line, you know what I started thinking? They're just gonna throw this away anyway. You know what I'm about to do, right? I gotta have another bite or two, because I'm thinking it's stewardship. You don't want to waste it. And so I took another bite. I took another bite, and y'all, you know what I discovered? I had a new favorite Andy's. I mean, I could not believe it. I had to pull out of that line and say, thank you, Lord. You do all things well. There is nothing. I mean, I had to figure out, this was the tough part. I had to figure out what was in it, because I hadn't ordered it. But I knew next time, this is what I was. So I had to deconstruct my Andy's. I mean, that's what I had to do. I had to reverse engineer it and start backing up from that and paying attention to the ingredients in case you ever go. Here's what it is: vanilla concrete with cherries and chocolate mint chips with a half a pump of caramel. There you go, right there. Just write that down. Keep it close to your heart. That's what you'll want to get. And when I was thinking about, here's the thought that came to my mind, and it will serve as our title today. Here's what I thought about that Andy's, and here's what I want you to think about as we walk down through our message together today. It was not what I thought that I wanted. It was not what I thought that I wanted. When you're going through a difficulty and you're not seeing the miracle that you've been believing for and praying for, it can be very, very hard on you. And if we're not careful, we can be tempted to think that God does not answer prayer, or at least he does not answer mine, or maybe I'm not spiritual enough, or maybe God is mad at me, or maybe it's because of past sins, or maybe because I'm not doing it right. And I'm not saying that you should ever not evaluate your heart. That's always a good idea. Can I get a good amen right there? Always a good place to start. Always good to say, am I praying in accordance to the word of God, the will of God? Are my prayers being spirit-led? Always a good move. But before you lose hope on what God may have for you, I want to take you to a passage of scripture that I believe God is going to use to speak to our hearts today. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. So if you have your copy of God's word, you can open it up to 2 Corinthians 12, or you can open up your Bible app, or for those of you who have neither, we will have the Sky Bible in operation today. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This passage captures a very insightful window into the life of Paul. Most of us are familiar with this hero of the faith, this spiritual giant, Paul. Acts chapter 14 teaches us that he was stoned and dragged out of the city. How many of you remember this story? Stoned and dragged out of the city, left there, believed to be dead. And remember what the next part of that verse teaches us? It says that he got up and went back into the city and kept preaching. Like, I don't know what you've done for Jesus, but I've never done that. Acts chapter 16 says that he was beaten and flogged, but he kept on singing and praising the Lord. What does it take to knock you off of your praise and worship? Acts chapter 27 says that he survived a shipwreck. Acts chapter 28 says he was bitten by a viper and he just shook it off. And this was way before Taylor Swift had that idea. He just shook it off. But when we get to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that this man of God, this spiritual giant, he had a problem. He calls it a thorn in his flesh. We don't know exactly what it was. Most scholars believe it was some type of physical ailment. We don't know for sure. What we do know is that it was something that caused Paul extreme pain and distress, and he desperately wanted it gone. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 8, we pick up with the story where Paul says, three different times, beg the Lord to take it away. Multiple times, not just a request. This man of God, this spiritual giant, is facing something, feeling something, carrying something that is so challenging, it's so distressful, it's so difficult. He says three times, I beg the Lord to take it away. He was pleading with God. Have you ever gone in a situation in your life from praying to begging? I have. When the pain is so deep, the desperation so real that you're pleading with heaven. He was needing a miracle. He knew that God could do it. How many of you would admit that sometimes that just trips you up a little bit when you know that he's strong? You know that he's powerful. No question in your mind, your theology tells you that he is omnipotent, all-powerful, which is what makes what you're facing even more difficult for you to understand. He says, I was begging God to take it away. And yet, look at how God answered Paul in verse 9. Paul says, each time God said in response to Paul's begging, look at what he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. Can I just tell you today, I have to admit this, I hate it for Paul, but I'm so glad for Scotty that this is recorded right here in Scripture. Sure makes me feel a lot better about my story when I learn from Paul's story that he was pleading with the Lord and God gave him an answer different than the one that he was hoping in the moment to hear. You and I don't have to always necessarily feel like something is wrong just because you have not received your answer or your breakthrough yet. And Paul was learning, and we're learning, something that through this, God is accomplishing something much more valuable than the healing or the breakthrough that he thought he wanted. Look at how this progresses, verse 9. He's gone from telling us, I was begging God, to now in verse 9, he says, so now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. Did you notice the shift? Do you see Paul's pivot right here? He's telling us, man, I had this thorn in the flesh. I was so distressed. I was so overwhelmed. I was begging God, please, not just once, multiple times begging, please take this away from me. And he's pulling us in. And we're like, Paul, I can relate. And I can understand that. And I've seen that in my life. And then he pivots. In the whole tone of what he's saying, this is coming from somewhere deep inside of him. He says, now though, I'm glad to boast about my weaknesses. I'm like, man, I don't know if I'm there yet for some things in my life. But that's what I really want. In verse 10, he says, that's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses. I'm like, what are you talking about? I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, in the hardships, in the persecutions, and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. Look at this next part. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm so thankful for this passage of Scripture. It's ministered to me deeply in my own life. I'm so glad he didn't get mad and frustrated when God said, my grace is all that you need. And I'm glad that Paul didn't get mad and throw a temper tantrum and say, this is not what I ordered. This is not what I asked for. This is not what I need. I'm glad he didn't give up and think, oh, well, maybe God doesn't do miracles. Maybe God doesn't answer prayer. Instead, he says, this is not what I thought that I wanted, but upon further review. Oh, it's just like he just pulled out of the line at Andy's and goes, my bad, you know what, you're right. Thank you very much. Although the miracle looks different than what I asked for, this is actually a bigger miracle and a better answer. Listen to me today, friends. Sometimes God will save you from it. Sometimes God will save you out of it. Sometimes he will walk with you through it. But God always has a plan. Can you say amen? This makes me think of the crippled man in Acts chapter 3. Remember the story? Laid there at the gate called Beautiful. Remember this? Peter and John on their way to family camp at Lake Geneva. Remember that? They were on their way to the place of prayer. And as they're walking by this gate called Beautiful, this crippled man is calling out because he's obviously laid there to beg because he can't care for himself. And so he's asking for people to help him, to give him some money. Remember this story? Wave at me if you remember the story. Wave at me, wave at me, wave at me. Okay. So he's there and he's calling out. And Peter and John, they stop and they look at him. Just think, his hopes rise, right? I mean, he's just waiting and they stop and they look at him. He's like, yes, great, thank you. And they look at him and said, we don't have any money. Can you imagine? There he is waiting. He's just hoping somebody's got, I need to eat today. I hope somebody has pity on me. Peter and John are walking by and they stop. And the guy's like, oh, yes, this is great. And they go, we don't have any money. How many of you got this? He said, then why are you looking at me, man? Keep walking. You just messing with me? Huh? You just trying to rub it in? You got a joke for me or something? He says, we don't have any money, but, and I just wonder what would have happened if the guy would have responded back and said, save. Well, I started to say, well, anyway, I won't even say it. But anyway, he said, save whatever you're about to say. I don't even want to hear it. Because I heard the part you just said on, you don't have what I need. Are you tracking with me, church? You don't have what I need. Save it. Hey, we don't have silver gold, which is what you're wanting, which is what you're asking for, which is what you think that you need. Come on, don't you remember this story? He says, but what we do have, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk. How many of you know the brother was going, this is not what I thought that I wanted. I thought you might slip me $5. I would have been excited if you'd have given me a 20, but you didn't answer the way I thought that you would. You didn't give me what I thought that I wanted. But I would imagine if you and I could talk to that man now and say, would you rather have had the $5 or the in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth? Walk. Sometimes God works in ways that we don't understand. He moves in times different than what we hoped for, And I just want to quickly give you four thoughts today for those of you who may still be in a place to where you believe in God, you love God, you know that He's faithful, but you're trying to reconcile that with what you're walking through in life because God has not answered yet, or He has not answered how you would prefer, how you would expect. Let me give you four things that I think are very important for us to hold on to in those moments. Number one, don't lose sight of this one. Number one, He's a good God. In the midst of all the stuff that's going on that you don't understand, don't lose your grip on what you know to be true. He's a good God. I started to call number one, He's a good, good Father. But then I thought y'all might start singing it, get it stuck in your head. He's a good God. He's a good, good Father. That's who He is. That's who He is. That's who He is. He's a good, good Father. Can you say amen? Amen. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. The devil wants to deceive you. He wants to distract you. He wants to take your eyes off of the big picture, the real picture, the true picture. And that is, there is a God. He does know you. He does love you. He does care about you. He has not abandoned you. He has not forgotten you. He's a good, good Father. But oh, the devil's a liar. He's the father of lies. When he speaks in deception. It's his native language, and he tries to get your eyes off of what you know to be true. I heard a story one time about a guy who worked in a factory, and one day when his shift ended, he was on his way out, and he was carrying a wheelbarrow with a box inside of it. As he was going out, the guy at the guard station there, at the little entrance, he stopped. He said, "Oh, where are you going here? What you got?" And he said, "Oh, I'm just finished up my shift, and I'm just heading out." And he said, "What you got in the box there? What are you taking? I need to know about this." He said, "Oh, this box, it just has some sawdust in it. From there on the floor, I just swept it up, and I hated for it to go to waste. I thought I might find a use for it at home, so it's just a box full of sawdust." And the guard was pretty skeptical. He's like, "I think this guy might be trying to pull a fast one." He goes, "I can't let you just walk out of here with that. I'm going to need you to go ahead and open up that box." He opened up the box. Sure enough, just full of sawdust. The guy's a little confused, like, "I don't know why this man wanted to sweep up sawdust and take it," but he goes, "Okay, go ahead." Next day, same thing happened. Shift ended. The guy's walking out, and he's pushing this box, going out. The guard stops and says, "Oh, hey, where are you going? It's you again." He said, "Yeah, I'm just taking this sawdust." He said, "You're up to sawdust. Oh, open up that box." He opened it up. Nothing but sawdust. It's like, "Man, go ahead." Next day, the same thing happens. Shift ends. The guy comes walking out, and the guard stops and goes, "Hey, stop. What are you doing?" He said, "Well, sir, I've already told you. I sweep up the sawdust, and I put it in this box. Take it home, see if I have use for it." And the guard said, "Listen, you know and I know something is not right here. I can't figure out what you're doing, but it's just driving me crazy. I've got to know. I promise I will not turn you in. Just tell me, what are you up to?" The guy said, "Do you promise that you won't turn me in?" He said, "I promise." He said, "I've been stealing wheelbarrows." It's so funny how at times the enemy is robbing us blind of what's really important and really going on, because we're so fixated on some small thing or some one thing. And sometimes we can think this: if God hasn't yet done this one thing, we forget about all the everything that God has done. We lose sight of the big picture of who He is because we're so stuck on, but He hasn't done this yet. But through all of history, look at His track record. Through all of my lifetime of walking with God, look at His faithfulness. With all of the times He has come through in just the right way, at just the right time, and the devil's going, "Get so focused on this that you miss all of that." The devil is a liar. I want you to know that God is good. Can you say amen? 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His faithful love endures forever." Psalm 145:9 says, "The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation." Psalm 100 and verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation." Don't lose sight of this. In your confusion, in your struggle, when you feel disoriented, when you don't understand why this is happening or that why that is happening, don't let go of this. God is good. He is faithful. His word is true. His character reliable. God is good. Let me give you a second thought here today. Hold on to this. When you're facing a, this is not what I thought that I wanted. Number two, sometimes he heals you. Sometimes he helps you. Sometimes God does a miracle of deliverance. Sometimes God gives you the miracle of his presence. Sometimes God gives you the miracle of freedom from something. Sometimes he gives you the miracle of his faithfulness through that something. Paul said in verse 8, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time, somebody say each time. Come on, shout, each time. Each time he said, man, just look at God's response. Paul begging, and this is what God says, "My grace is all you need." He didn't say it's going to be part of the answer. He didn't say this is going to hold you over. He didn't say this will help a little bit. Look at what he says to Paul. He says, "What I'm giving you is more than enough to take care of you, to sustain you." And for some of you, that's colliding right now with what you're thinking in your natural mind, with what you're facing in real life. But God's word for Paul is God's word for us. God's grace is sufficient. What you think that you need is not really necessarily what you ultimately or truly need. Paul, my grace is all you need. Sometimes he heals you. Sometimes he helps you. Some of you will know a little bit of my story because I've spoken frequently here in Minnesota, and so maybe you've heard part of my story. But when I was in college, I was playing football at Evangel, and I hurt my back. And so since then, I've had four back surgeries. So the surgeries were not successful in the sense that they did not take away the pain, and instead, over time, it has just gotten worse and more challenging, so I live with the chronic pain. And I have found this truth to be so comforting in my life countless times. God's grace is sufficient. There have been times, though, I have been very, very confused because I have prayed for people to be healed who were healed. How many of you know that's a little bit confusing? And as you're celebrating God's goodness, you're going, "I need to go sit down somewhere. That just doesn't make sense to me. I can't reconcile that in my mind." Like, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we can't always, especially this side of eternity, reconcile all of those things. I so desperately wish that the pain was gone. And then even as a youth pastor, I remember having conversations with young people who would know about my back condition and yet trying to teach them about God being a healer or the power of prayer. And I remember one day walking in the hall of church, and this young person, a student in our group, came up and said, "Pastor Scotty, how's your back feeling?" And I thought, man, that's so kind that he cares. And I said, "Man, it's okay. Thank you so much for asking." And he said, "Do you still have back pain?" I said, "Well, if I'm being honest, I still do. Yep, it's still there." He goes, "Oh." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "I've been fasting and praying for you to be healed. And I thought when I saw you today that you were going to tell me that the pain was gone." Have you ever wanted to fake a healing before? I was like, Lord, if not for me, for him. I just want to be, you know, come to think of it though, you know what? Actually, oh, but I was just wanting to fake it. I thought, Lord, is there grace for that if I lie right now? Because for us, in our limited perspective, our limited thinking, and our limited understanding, we can't figure out. All we know is that you go through stuff in life, and you go, this hurts. And you're a healer. And you're a good, good father. And here's what we learn about his grace. Sometimes he heals you. Sometimes he helps you. But he's so faithful. He always hears you. He's always there for you. And so what do you do? Well, what I've learned to do and try to do is to take it one day at a time. Sometimes for some of you, it may be one step at a time. Just to get out of bed in the morning time for you is such a battle. Such a challenge to where what grace looks like there in that moment is God giving you the ability to put one foot in front of the other. It's just the miracle of remaining in Him. It's the miracle of not giving up when your eyes or your natural thinking are telling you there's no way out or there's no hope. Sometimes grace looks like the ability to face one more day or to take one more step. Sometimes it's just one more breath and just looking to Him and trusting Him. I just wanted to remind some friends today who maybe after a night like last night, you could feel doubly discouraged because it's one more night where you prayed for something that God did not do in the way that you hoped that He would. I just wanted to remind you, He's so good. Sometimes He helps you. Sometimes He heals you. But He's always, always with you. Let me give you this third thing. Number three, He will work all things together for your good and His glory. He will work all things together for your good and His glory. Paul was talking about that, and he said, for now I'm boasting about this. For when I'm weak, then I find I'm really strong. You're like, what are you talking about? Because His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Paul discovered something about his trial, about his pain and his difficulty. He learned something that would be great for all of us to discover. And that is when you're walking through something that God did not choose to keep you from or rescue you out of, but instead He's walking with you through it. Paul learned that as I'm going through this, this is actually a good thing. Some of you may be in a situation right now to where it's difficult for you to call anything about what you're going through good, and I get that. I would just ask you to remember that as followers of Jesus, we're called to walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not trying to challenge you and encourage you to be a fake Christian, going through something hard, going through something's difficult, but always trying to fake it. And everybody, how you doing? Blessed. How you doing? Highly favored. Everything's wonderful. Everything's going great. Oh, my wife loves me. My kids adore me. Got more money than we know what to do with. You know, I'm not saying you got to be fake. You can keep it real. But keeping it real means you keep Him on the throne of your heart. And you go, although I don't understand it, although I can't see it in my natural eyes, I just know that God is working right now. He's doing something right now. I don't know what He's, I just know that He's an on-time kind of a God. I just know that He's so faithful. He's so reliable. All I know is that someday this will make sense. Today it doesn't. But one day it will. One of the most popular verses in all of Scripture, even if you didn't read it in your Bible, you saw it at a Cracker Barrel on a Hallmark mug or something. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, somebody say all things. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. You see, my pain just hits different when I attach purpose to it. Your pain can feel unbearable and overwhelming when you feel like the pain is simply pain. But as followers of Jesus, when we know that somehow, some way, God is going to use this, yes, even this, for my good and his glory, it just hits differently. James chapter 1, verse 12 says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. That's a perfect segue into the last point. And just to give the people hope, I'm going to call for somebody to come to the keys, just so the people think, this too will pass. This session will come to the end at some point. I want to give you this last one because that verse there in James 1:12 is so good. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive. Not they might or they're hoping to. After their patient endurance, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised. He's promised it. He has promised it to those who love him. Would you hold on to that truth today? Would you underline that in your Bible? Would you just make a note on your phone to come back to that one and maybe print it off and put it on a mirror? Put it there on the bathroom mirror when you're brushing your teeth, that you'll just remember this. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised. He's promised it to those who love him. Don't lose your hope of that. This is not what I ordered. This is not what I wanted. May God help us to have hope and faith. That's an unshakable faith that will lead us to that place of saying, this is not what I thought that I wanted, but look at God. Because number four, this is so good. And don't forget it. Your problems are temporary. Isn't it encouraging to know that your pain has an expiration date? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. Truly, some of my most encouraging verses in all of the Bible for me in my life. Paul, St. Paul, who we just read from earlier about the thorn in his flesh and begging God, same Paul writing to this same church, same letter, he says this, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I want you to look at this, verse 17. For our light and momentary troubles. Look at that. For our light, it's the weight of it. And momentary, the duration. Paul says, for our light and momentary troubles. And if I read that and I'm not, I don't have my game face on, if my headspace is not in a good place, I'll read that and go, well, Paul, yours may be light. But what I'm going through, and it's not to in any way belittle whatever it is that you're carrying today, is to put it in perspective. Because he calls it light and momentary because of what he's about to say. He says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. He's saying, what awaits you and what you're walking through? Whoo, man, if you only knew what's on the other side of that finish line. It's just what we were talking about in James 1 a second ago. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So here's what we do. Verse 18, we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Sometimes we just have to, in our walking by faith, not by sight, is that we see what we're seeing, we're feeling what we're feeling, we're walking through what we're walking through. It's not a denial of reality. We just lift our eyes to a greater reality, and we remember that soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. This that I'm walking through is not my forever forecast. This may be the storm right now that I'm having to walk through, but it's not going to be my condition forever. What I'm praying for, what I'm believing for, by way of a breakthrough, by way of God's provision or God's deliverance, God is so faithful. Look at one last scripture, 1 Peter 1:6-8. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead. Come on, receive this today. There is wonderful joy ahead. Even though you must endure many trials for a little while, these trials will show that your faith is genuine. Listen, if we can only praise Him when He gets our order right according to what we order every time we order it, is that faith, is that trust. When God does just what we ask, when, how we want it, and we praise Him because He does it the way I want Him to. Or we say, this is not what I thought that I wanted, but I trust my God. These trials show that your faith is genuine. It's being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. I'm growing. God's working me. Paul said, oh, I'm so glad I can actually boast in this now. I can celebrate this now because of what God is doing in me. Though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. How many of you know that He's coming back soon? Come on, how many of you know that our Lord is coming back for His church? I really believe it won't be long now. Some of you would say, yeah, well, Paul thought that He's coming back any minute too. And I say, yep, and we're closer than Paul, right? So He's coming any minute. Oh, just don't lose sight of it as we close in prayer. Our God is good. He is faithful. He is reliable. He might heal you. He might help you. He's always at work. It's for your good, for His glory. And soon and very soon, this will all be over. We'll stand before Him, and you'll stand and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Anybody looking forward to heaven? Come on, who's looking forward to going to heaven? No more sickness, no more pain, no more heartache, no more disease, no more fighting, no more wars, no more taxes, no more taxes, no more taxes. We're close, y'all. Let's be faithful until the end. So I'm going to pray, and we're just going to give about a 30, 60 second response in your heart from where you are. Pastor Mark will come and transition for us. But as we get ready to pray, here's what I'd like for you to do. Think about a time in the past where God did something that's not what you thought that you wanted. But as you look back, you're like, I'm so glad you didn't do what I asked you to do, and instead you did this. Some of y'all would have been married 8 times by now if He'd have answered every prayer. Gotten jobs that now you look back and go, oh, Lord, thank you. I want you just to 36 seconds, just think about it and let that build your faith, for He's the same God.